right, here we go. Geocast. I don't know what episode it is. This is back to Costa Rica. Today we're going to talk a bit about the collective mind, transitioning between spaces, the concept of what versus how. Last time we talked about what versus why. Patience and a few other things. I'm just going to flow with it as usual. I'm going to go for about 20 to 30 minutes here, whatever feels good. And thanks for joining, guys. Thanks for all the feedback on this podcast, Geocast, whatever you want to call it. It's me sharing my thoughts, what's going on, hopefully some things I can share that can inspire or help share some of the things that I've learned, and hopefully it'll help you in your day-to-day life. So, coming back to Costa Rica, we came last year when things were getting a bit crazy back home in Canada. I was just worried about, where do I want to spend this winter? Do I want to be locked down? I wasn't crazy about the Canadian government, some of the policies they were implementing. And then want my kids going back into, that learning environment that I don't think is conducive to learning at all. So we packed up, jumped right in and came down here. Probably moved a little quicker than I would like to in retrospect. We bought a place really quickly and amazing place. But there's a lot of pressure to make quick decisions. And it's taught me a lot about patience. So we'll get into that a bit too. If I sound kind of funny, it's because I have some mambe in my mouth. Mambe is a medicinal plant from the Andes in South America. It's actually the raw cocaine leaf ground up into powder. You take it with a little tobacco paste. And it helps you to speak your truth and speak clearly. And so, since I've stopped drinking coffee and cut out alcohol completely, I don't know if I'm just filling the void with something else, but it feels good and natural, and it's very uplifting and inspiring. I'll probably make another podcast where I go deeper into that. There's actually a maestro coming to town, because it's interesting, because I really want to learn more about the medicines that I use. And there's a grandfather coming from Colombia next week to do some talks about it. So I'm really excited that I'm going to get to meet him and just learn more how you can use the mambe. Because like all substances, you can use them in an intentional way, but you can also use them in a way that can be destructive or not beneficial. And that goes for all plant medicines, whether it's ayahuasca or even other psychedelics. You can use them with intention to help give you guidance, to help create openings in your life. But ultimately, they should never be a crutch forever. Using them in the right way with intention. It's interesting. A famous biohacker, Ben Greenfield, put an article out where he used to talk a lot about psychedelics and plant medicines on his own journey. And then he stopped saying that, they're not necessary. And, at first it was kind of triggering, but, I think there's some truth to that as well. I always find it's like, the middle way, somewhere in between, where you're not abusing it or needing it, but using it intentionally when you do need it. Or when you maybe need some help or some guidance. It's just like any other teacher. And a teacher, in my opinion, or a guru, you shouldn't always need them to feel safe or to feel like you need them for anything. A good teacher, the best teachers and coaches are there to kind of point you in the right direction, let you figure it out yourself, and then integrate that into long-lasting change. So that's the intention here. And the first thing, before I talk about coming back to Costa Rica, something I was feeling in Canada. So the last few weeks in Canada, I was getting really stressed, a little bit anxious. And I noticed from the moment I landed back there was a different feeling. Everything felt rushed. People were under a lot of stress and tension over the last couple of years. And as a human being, you take that on. Studies have proven that, even heart rate variability, if you have three people who are in coherence, you bring another person to that group, the other people can bring them into coherence. Now think about it as a collective. And you go into like this energy field with millions of people, you're going to pick up what they're feeling. And the good news is if we can shift a lot of those into a different state, then it can bring everyone with them. And I've heard some spiritual teachers talk about, hey, you don't need a lot of high vibration to change a low vibration. I'm not sure how much I believe in that or what the exact math is, but I do believe, one person can inspire many different people. And once people start shifting their minds and their inner dialogue and narrative, other people can feel into that. So imagine the news and society and the way people are feeling, the government putting all this fear and social media. Imagine how that's affecting each and every individual, and imagine how it's collecting the field and pushing everyone into this space. a collective manifestation. So if everyone believes something's going to happen, it happens more. But I think what's happened over the last couple of years is these crazy, maybe elite or controlling views of trying to do things have actually forced people to wake up, because sometimes fear is a good mover, and pain and suffering and confusion, because it pushes you into a space where you have to check your reality. And I think that's what's happening. So the last few weeks, this collective mind was really putting pressure on me. I was feeling it. And a friend of mine down here, Mitra, one of my spiritual teachers, is telling me about how when he goes to Israel, you know, after a few weeks, they're all talking about how you start taking on everyone's problems. Your mind is thinking about, oh, do I have enough money for retirement? Is there going to be war? Blah, blah, blah. Like all these things that everyone's thinking. And then when you come back here, you just feel a difference. So landing here, we couldn't bring our dog. It was super complicated, which is very sad for the whole family. Made travel a bit easier. Had a long, long drive from San Jose. It was supposed to be like 4.5 hours on the GPS when there's no traffic. Ended up being an 8-hour drive. Put the GPS on, 5.5 hours, not so bad. For the first 3 hours of the drive, it stayed at 5 hours. But we got here, and as the first couple of days go by, I already started feeling a sense of calm. Putting myself back into my rhythm. You know, the last week in Toronto also, I know when I start feeling like that, it's really a sign to get back into your routine and to trust and to be patient. That's been the lesson. And you know, one of the things, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast, but at Camp Summer Days, when I got there, I was supposed to be relaxing. And I volunteered to do some work to create some paths for the camp and the event. And within a few minutes, I was getting attacked by mosquitoes. And I was like, okay, man, I gotta go get a sweater. Went to get the sweater, came back doing some more work. Right at the end, I must have hit a wasp nest with a rake. And immediately, there's like 100 wasps all over me trying to sting me. Thank God I had that sweater on because it was covering my head. They're trying to get at my face. They end up finding my ankle, smart guys, the weak point, and just started stinging the crap out of me. So I'm running through the forest, throwing my arms up in the air, trying to get all these wasps off me. It was an intense experience. It was almost like exhilarating. It was painful, but it was like, wow, I'm alive. What a feeling to feel this interaction. As I reflected on it, it was telling me to slow down, to be patient, not to work all the time, and just trying to figure out where that comes from. And I've done a lot of self-reflection on why I always feel like I need to work, keep my mind busy. It's still something I'm working on. Like what are these kind of beliefs that I have, these wounds about being successful and performing and being good enough and being of value to others. And so when I get here, you know, my friend Eddie tells me he got attacked by these wasps. And at my house where I'm staying at, I see these little wasps nest here up in my room. There's one up here in the corner here. There's a big wasp right behind me here. It's a reminder, it's like, hey man, slow down and be patient. And I think that's the lesson this time around, is really be patient, be intentional. You know, where we chose to live, we're about 20 minutes out from the town, 30 minutes out from the town now. There's a river we got to cross. The kids can't play with their friends after school. It's a beautiful view, as you can see behind me. Or for those listening, it's a beautiful view behind me. But this time here, it's like not rushing into anything. Maybe we put this place for sale. Maybe we move closer to town. You know, I'm just open right now. I'm not trying to push anything through. Because a lot of times when I move too quickly, you do things without really thinking about the full picture. And if you're in the surrender experiment, sometimes you just kind of let go and allow things to unfold. And it's a balance there as well. Because if you surrender too much and don't take any action, life is going to take you into the the storm. But if you move too quickly and you're too focused in your mind about like making a plan and figuring things out and you know needing an answer now, it's going to bring a lot of stress, suffering to you and those around you. And I've noticed that these last few weeks. It's like, hey, I need to figure out a solution. I need to figure out this. I need to figure out that. Putting pressure on other people that I'm working with. And it's not good. It's not good. So my intention here is to be patient, to be aware of all the opportunities that are coming to me. Because the other thing is when you're in this stressed mind all the time, you go into a state of fight or flight. You don't sleep as well, which was what was happening to me. I was drinking way too much coffee. Because I wasn't sleeping well, so I was drinking coffee. So I was drinking coffee then to balance out the energy because I was tired. And then I'm in this, like, not sleeping well, stressed, paranoid, worrying about problems, making them 10 times bigger than they really are. What I just really needed was to rest and slow down and to clear my mind. So now that I'm back here, cut out coffee, like I mentioned. Doing my meditation, an hour, 30 minutes a day, setting some intention in the morning, and just sort of allowing the day to come to me. Planning the things I have to do on my meetings for work, and just trying to really slow down. So I recommend that if you're feeling similar ways. There's this crazy collective energy going on, the markets in the world and looming war and inflation. And a lot of these things are going to happen. They're outside of our control. And things may change in your life, right? It's good to have some plan, but not to overly worry about having it all figured out. Because in the end, things seem to work themselves out. So, coming back to Costa Rica, I was a little bit nervous. And it's funny because each trip, you're worried about, well, how's it going to be this time around? Even when I was going back to Canada, I felt the same way. And a lot of people, they're like, oh, it's so inspiring what you're doing. And, they see only the good and they don't see the challenges that come along with it as well. So, both worlds have their challenges. Both worlds have their amazing things. And it's kind of like working both out at the same time, appreciating all the amazing things that both of these opportunities have to offer, but also being conscious of the challenges that come up as well. Like things as simple as like opening a bank account here. It's not easy. Or doing construction and like waking up at 6 in the morning and there's like noise already. Workers are working outside. And, where to live, the amount of rain that comes down, lice breakouts at the kids' school. Last year, there was a lice breakout for like a whole month. It's like, who's got lice? Who doesn't have lice? What's going on? And so it's great to be back, a little bit different energy this time. I have a whole new perspective of how, to approach those next couple of months. We found a house sitter at our house in Toronto. It's going to watch our dog. And so, Joseph just came in, my son, interrupting while I'm recording. Okay, have a good day, buddy. So the other thing is like coming back, like a lot of the people, it's a travel town. And last year we met so many amazing friends and made so many connections, so many interesting people. And you come back, it's like, hey, is it gonna be the same this year? As a travel town, every season there's a whole new bunch of people that come in. And I'm just open to what that experience is going to be this year. And met a lot of friends here that have made the shift from, their North American, US, Europe, Canadian lifestyle. And, the honeymoon is over. Now you really got to like live life in Costa Rica. Problems with building. One of my friends built a house and they came back and there's mold everywhere. And that's a big thing here. A lot of our stuff that we put in storage, some of it got moldy. And it's like, wow, there's things you don't think about in Canada that you really got to think about here. So a lot of it's about getting clear and trying not to get stuck in the problem. And, when you're in that mindset, that stress mindset, that coffee mindset, that adrenaline, cortisol, go, go, go mindset, you start really being problem focused. And focus on your problems. And what I'm trying to shift into is being open to solutions, being open to ideas of how I want things to go. And the more your brain focuses on problems, the mind starts thinking like that's what you want. The brain doesn't know like your thoughts, if it's what you actually want, or if your thoughts are, the reticular activating system is this thing designed to go out and seek the things it thinks you want. So the things you're thinking about, if you're hungry, it's like trying to find food, or you want to buy a car, it's trying to find that car you want to drive. And when you're thinking about all these problems, it's almost like bringing more problems into your awareness. So it's like, okay, like here I am and I'm manifesting this beautiful place to live that's a little bit closer to town, but not too close. And then how I want to feel each day in there, and the amazing experiences I want to have. So it's becoming way more solution focused. Manifesting that, and even just writing out like a letter to yourself. I'm gonna be rewriting my creative visioning process, which is a course on elementalrhythm.com. If you can try it, just getting clear on how you want all the areas of your life to be, how you want them to feel, how you want to show up, what it looks like. And so, I'm really starting to focus on that and just being patient. And this goes back to the what versus why conversation I had the last one, like when you're figuring out like things that are going on, like in a business or for online, you're seeing what people are doing, and you know exactly what they're doing, but you don't know why they're doing it. And figuring out the why is like the key to really scaling a business And just finding like areas that can make huge shifts in your life. So you see all these things that are happening. These can be patterns as well. And you can apply these things to almost anything, right? Like apply it to business, looking at analytics. You look at patterns in your own life. You start being aware of the patterns you keep going into, whether it's relationships or work or whatever. Start asking yourself why this keeps happening. And not why from a victim standpoint, but just why is it, what is it trying to show me? And then once you're clear on the what is going on and kind of like the why it might be happening, now you know the what. It's like, how do I change that? So I know what I want. I'm really clear now. Now, how do I make that transition? How do I get this new place? You know, how do I, you know, figure out how to, you know, make people online in a business understand what I'm trying to show them? Like, they need to know, like, how am I going to solve their problems? So it's a whole nother layer of figuring things out. So once you discover the what, it's like now it's the how. And I find the how is it can be a little bit more patient, just being open to opportunities, not trying to rush things through from the mind, just really feeling into things. And some of the other things, you know, that I've learned as well is that, you know, just recognizing the limitations of my skill set. You know, in a company that's scaling personal development school, you know, it's easy to start a small business, right? Where it's like, you want to open a store, okay, what are you gonna sell? You know, there's a lot of, it's not, no business is easy. Let me take that back. Some things are really cut and dry and straightforward, and sometimes I assume that things are gonna be easier than they actually are. But it's really important to, you know, do research, to talk to people that actually have a more skill set to even pay for it if it makes sense. And so that's what I'm doing with the business now. It's like, instead of trying to learn everything, which is the old, like, do it all yourself, figure it out, you know, learn how to record music, learn how to do videos, learn how to, you know, do online marketing and blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes that's coming, going from a manager mindset where you won't need to manage everything and control it, but to be more of like the owner, to be more of like the founder, to be more of like a visionary, you kind of got to know what you want to do, and you got to kind of get other people to help you figure out the how. You know, like, how did they do it? Look at people that are have already done what you think you're going to be doing, and ask them, you know, for help, to be vulnerable, say, hey, you know, like, can I pick your brain? Can I pay you for an hour of your time? You know, finding people that have built a house in town or that have scaled a company or that have all of these different expertise, rather than trying to figure it out myself, make all the mistakes. Because, you know, what you pay for an experience is the cost of all their mistakes they've made, all the learnings. And that's what's really important, is why you hire people with experience, because they've already made the mistakes. And it's a different life down here for sure, with building, with almost everything, opening a bank account. And to do something awesome, a lot of the times it's not easy, or else everyone will be doing it. And just a new business, again, another business, we're trying to bring in some products from South America that are some different plant medicines, or different herbs, and these certain things that no one's really done it before. And the few partners that I'm with, you know, it's a lot of struggle. But we're figuring it out. You know, we know what we want to do, we just got to figure out the how. And so we've been going in circles a bit. But ultimately, it's like when you go through all of these challenges, you're building the value because you're learning. And whether that's learning in your own life and learning from other people who've done it before, or in your business, it's really, really important. These things are like probably the most valuable things you can do, is get that experience of going through a process. And so I feel like I'm going through the process of learning how to live in Costa Rica, what the balance is between Toronto and Costa Rica, and ultimately, like, what do I really want? You know, like, when we came down here, it's like, am I really happy here? And can I be happy here? And can I be happy in Canada and get the both best of both worlds and deal with the challenges in both worlds and find that ultimate balance? So yeah, so I've been thinking about putting out some more content on Elemental Rhythm. I would love to know, like, topics you guys might be interested in me talking about. Going back to Rhythmia in October for a week, which is always very introspective for myself. We've been recording all this amazing music for Elemental Rhythm. We did a session back in Toronto, where we ended up doing like an 8-hour session of bowls and singing, and that's what feels the best to me when I'm in creating creatively. I don't know if any of you listening make music or do art, but there's something about getting in that flow space that just feels amazing. So I'm gonna release some of that music. I'm going to edit some of it and put it out there very, very soon. But yeah, just to wrap today is no matter where you are, It feels might feel like the grass is greener on the other side, but each side has its own beauty and its own challenges, and they're all there for you. And you always have that choice to jump into the unknown and to try something way out of your comfort zone. And the uncomfortableness of the known, some people can get stuck in there for a long time, but just be courageous to step out, even one toe, into something different. To put yourself out there, to challenge your boundaries and your comfort zone, and just to see what it has to offer. Because if you start feeling that gut feeling now, that things are not perfect and they're not right or something feels off, that's a sign to start exploring the amazing possibilities that are out there. So find out what it is for you. Maybe you've been too much relaxed mode. So for me, it's slowing down, finding the balance, not forcing myself that when I'm in idle state that I need to do more. It's okay to just chill a bit. And I find that already here, the most amazing thing is, like, in Toronto, I couldn't wake up in the morning, staying up late at night, might have a lot to do with the coffee I was drinking. But here within 2 days, I'm already falling asleep at 8 p.m. and waking up at 5 a.m. with an alarm clock. And it just feels so good. I feel that collective mind kind of seeping in. It's kind of like lifting. It's giving me some clarity. And I'm doing more breath work and meditation, all those kind of things. So find your balance. One thing too is when I came here, I forgot like half my stuff. My recording mic, I had to buy one in San Jose, which is awesome. It's a new one now that I got here. And it was just like this whirlwind. But I was freaking out a bit at the airport. But I'm like, hey, like, there's going to be solutions there. San Jose, I found the perfect mic, the perfect thing. I just didn't worry about it. I allowed things to happen. And it's just that reminder of that trust. Seeing the busy bee wasps here everywhere as a symbol of like, hey, it's okay to be busy at times, but also relax. This guy here has been stuck behind me in between a screen and the glass door for 3 days already. Why? Because he's probably overly working too hard to make his nest and didn't realize he's building it halfway in and halfway out. And now he's stuck there. Maybe I'll try to let him out. I just do not want to get stung by another wasp. So it's Gio. Thank you guys. If you have any questions, any topics you want to talk about, please reach out. I'm on Instagram at Elemental Gio. I'm going to start putting some YouTube videos out now as well. And check out elementalrhythm.com. We're doing a whole relaunch of the site. It's going to be really exciting. And we got some facilitator trainings coming up in November. And I'll try to get some more of these podcasts out more often to you guys. Again, thanks for listening. Love you guys. Have the most amazing day ever. Keep breathing. Love you. Peace.